Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Agile Uprising podcast. I am a solo host this week, Chris Merman, and we have something I think is a little bit different than our normal kind of spiel that we kind of go at you. You know, normally we're doing a lot of topics and approaches and ideas, and I have a really interesting organization I want to spend some time talking about this week. So with me is Larry Apke from the Job Hacker. Say hello, Larry.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Larry, I am so glad you're here on the podcast. This is the second time we've spoke, and every time we speak, I just feel better and better. Tell the folks a little bit about kind of how you got started in Agile. How you know you don't have to read your old resume, but just kind of tell me a little bit about your Agile journey.
Yeah, certainly. It was probably about 12-14 years ago. I was a director of software development. We got a new VP in, and he brought Agile in. And I hadn't really experienced anything Agile and Scrum, and did a little training. And you know, the very first thing I thought of is, gosh, what's the big deal here? It took me a while to figure out that it really was a big deal. I had been used to working for myself and felt that I was fairly agile. And then, you know, I started really doing some research and looking things up, and I went down that rabbit hole, and, you know, 12, 14 years later, you know, here I am still doing that research, still trying to figure out, things, how to build software better and get it to our customers sooner, and how to improve quality and how to increase engagement and all the, you know, the wonderful things that Agile brings to the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That, the more we learn, the more we learn that we have more to learn.
Absolutely. It's been a long road, and my reading list just keeps getting longer.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One of the fellow board members, Jay Hirschko, he like every time he hears someone else mention a book, he's like, damn it, you gave me something else to read now.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's funny. We actually have a lot of the same, similar connections in the community. So it's funny. We've not crossed paths before, but here we are now. But we're not here to brag about Larry, even though we probably could if we wanted to. Larry's kind of, I guess what would you say your title is with Job Hackers?
Well, I gave myself the title Chief Agile Officer because it's my nonprofit and I got to give out the title. So that's what it is.
There you go. All right. Chief Agile Officer of the Job Hackers. So for those that haven't, maybe you've heard of it before, maybe that's why you're here to hear more about it. Thank you so much for trying us out. But for those that haven't heard of the Job Hackers, Larry, what's the elevator pitch of what your org does?
Yeah, Job Hackers is all about providing some upskilling to people, helping them to find work. You know, when I started it, I saw a lot of very talented people who were out of work. And, you know, I said to myself, if they had a little bit of Agile and Scrum knowledge, they might be able to, you know, do better in the interviews. They might be able to take that knowledge and leverage it into a job. So I started teaching some classes and started working with people, and we found out that, you know, people loved the classes and people were getting jobs, and it was making a difference in the community. So, you know, we just kept doing it and eventually became an official 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we've been that way for 2.5 years now.
Yeah. You founded it in October of 2017. So getting darn close to 3 years. Now you started it in San Francisco where you're based out of, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I had gone to see a place in Sunnyvale. They had a meeting for people who are unemployed and looking for work. And I saw all these wonderful people and I said, I've got to do something. And so that was really about 4 or 5 years ago when I started coming up to the Bay Area and eventually migrated up here. And then, you know, we started running the classes before we became a nonprofit, but officially in October 2017.
Now, I think from the students that I've talked to, the kind of the early days were kind of just sitting in a room, kind of chatting about, you know, what do you know about Agile? And it was just kind of this very organic conversation of what do you know and what do you think? Like, what was it like developing you know, it's nobody in the audience. We're all used to the material that we go through training classes in, and we're used to kind of developing materials and workshops and such on our own. So I don't think that is necessarily as curious, more of like, how, what was the conversation like with this group of people that was different than maybe your kind of your usual training class?
I think the couple things that are different is we do it over time. So it's a class that lasts 6 weeks. And originally what we were doing is basically reading a lot of what I considered the most profound books in and around Agile. And they wouldn't necessarily be, here's how to do Scrum, but we read things like Drive and, Fifth Discipline and other books that, you know, Principles of Product Development Flow. These are still in part of our curriculum. Systems thinking and other things. So it wasn't, I think, a typical Agile Scrum class in the sense that we talked about a lot of things that were more, I would consider, you know, mental models or mindset type of work, a lot of philosophical, theoretical stuff, but getting people to understand kind of the difference between knowledge-based work and you know, physical work and what that entails. So it was different than a lot of your normal, you know, CSM type of classes.
Right. Whereas a lot of training classes that we've traditionally gone to, it's like you get the why, you know, your mind either may already be turned on to this different way of working, or you're on the way of your mind being turned. And you really just need to know the how kind of a thing. You kind of pull back, especially since you don't have to cram all the training into 2 or 3 days, right? You can step back and say, let's help you understand that why. Let's help you give you that mindset. And I think it's probably something we should all go through, especially those of us, especially if you've been in the industry a while. Not that I'm suggesting we all run through it, but it is something that kind of changes the mindset of these training classes you do. So what was the reception like early on when you kind of went, you know, with these people that were very new to the industry, right? What were those early results like?
Well, the early results were fantastic, which kept me going because I remember we placed a couple people and helped place a couple people in Scrum Master or I think Project Coordinator, Project Manager positions. And that kind of gave me the fuel to keep moving. But the response from the audience over the years has been really tremendous to that style of learning because it makes it a little bit more, I would say, generic. Even though we use software development where Agile and Scrum come from as a metaphor for a lot of what we're doing, and that's where my, you know, decades of experience comes from. We talk about it in a way that translates it to pretty much all knowledge work, so that you could, you know, apply this to education or marketing or you know, architectural design or a whole bunch of other areas. And we've taken out, in some cases over the years, we've taken out a lot of the pure technical stuff. We talk about quality, and we talk about other ways to get technical quality specifically because we're using software development as a metaphor. But we get people from all walks of life. I mean, all ages, all races, all we have a high rate of diversity, and we take everyone as long as they're interested. And so it's become more and more, I would say, generic over time, but I think still is valuable.
Yeah, let's talk about that in terms of like who comes to your class, because again, starting off with just, hey, people out of work that don't have a lot of, I remember one in our first conversation, one thing you told me that really stood out is, what's the one thing that we all need to get our job that they don't have and you can't get from a training class, and that's experience, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's a pretty daunting task to take people out of work that don't have experience, that want to learn a different mindset, that have that right attitude, that have that growth mindset, right? That's kind of challenging enough as it is, right? But then, you know, like, tell me more about the kinds of people, like, where do you find students from? Like, what kind of situation are they in life? Instead of not just out of work, but your students come from a variety of walks of life, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we're always doing outreach with different areas, but, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the numbers first. Average age for those who give it to us is 43. So we're not just talking kids out of college. These are generally professional people who just need a little bit of help. We do a lot of outreach with programs that are primarily helping women. So we have about 2/3 of our participants are women, which is unheard of in the technical world. And they've got some things they could probably learn from us. And about 50% of the people are people of color. And we continue to reach into communities that are underserved to see what we can do. So we're working a lot with the African American community. We're working a lot with the Latino community. My goal is to, if anybody needs our assistance, we're going to go out and try to find them. We work with a lot of great partners as well. Job workforce programs and other things, and they send us people all the time, and we love to have them. But we never have given anybody some kind of test or pre, you know, we don't screen people. So we'll take whoever feels they can benefit. And that's why we have such diversity.
Yeah, you've, I think through the end of last year, you've had over 500 people go through your program. And I think you're shooting for potentially another 500 just this year alone, right?
Yeah, we're on track to get about 500 this year. We've estimated, we've given easily over $1 million worth of free training. That's the one thing I had to keep reminding people is this is absolutely 100% free. Right. And it's all volunteer organization. So, we're looking at now probably 500 this year. We will be nearing 1,000 people total who've made it through the program. That doesn't count the number of people who've gone into the program, which is about double that. We have about 1,500 people in our Slack community. So that tells you the reach we have. Not everybody makes it through for whatever reason, but they're still part of our community.
Yeah, and I think ending that class A with a different mindset and some new skills that they can put on the resume, maybe some help interviewing, right? Follow-up mentoring, community that they can participate in over Slack. But it's also another thing that I really liked is this pay it forward mentality that you have, they're not paying for the class. So tell me about your pay it forward program as part of the class and what's been the interesting results of that.
Yeah, I always joke with people, every once in a while I get a good idea. The pay it forward was one of them, I think, because we're not charging anybody for the class. So we said, hey, if you're willing to do so, would you volunteer 18 hours to a local nonprofit in your community, which that's the number of hours in the class. And we get about 2/3 of the people volunteer to do it. And we have given back, I believe, and I haven't looked at the numbers for a while, but about 2,500 hours of time donated back to local communities that would not have happened otherwise. We feel very proud of the fact that what we're doing is not only giving away free education, but we're actually, getting people to work locally in their communities. Right. And once they start, they'll show us that we have a form they can fill out to show us what they've done. I know a lot of them stay involved way more than 18 hours.
Man, that's so very cool. This idea of creating we're not just helping people that are trying to get back out in the workforce with a new set of skills, right, and experience. Yeah. We're building a community, right? You're building a community of folks that are staying together, staying in touch, keep encouraging each other. I'm sure there's a lot of suggestions and whatnot about, this company or that company, or maybe this role or that role, right? So there's that aspect as well. But also just this heart of, we talk about servant leadership in our community, and it's spoken of, and I don't mean this to step on anybody's toes, but it's spoken of pretty flippantly, right? Like, oh, I'm going to serve my team. I'm going to be the type of leader that serves. But like, to really create a community that says, no, let's go actually serve. Yeah. Like, let's go do it. Like that puts your money where your mouth is, in a way that, like, I don't know that people truly get in this day and age of kind of servant leadership. Does that resonate at all with you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was taught, as all agilists, you know, are taught, that we are servant leaders, that we see the world slightly differently than other folks. And we believe that, you know, because we see the world differently, we have something to share. It's right in the magic, sure. You know, the manifesto. So I've just taken it to heart that, look, I've got something that I can share with my fellow human beings that they find valuable. That helps them, but we're not. It's not just me. I mean, we're creating almost an army of servant leaders because we're modeling that servant leadership through the volunteers that we have. We have many volunteers at the Job Hackers who help do what we do. Help me to and Dave, who's my partner, co-founder, to further our mission. So you know, we're leading by example, I think, and I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. And Dave, your co-founder, if I'm not mistaken, he went through your program at one point in time, right?
Yeah. Well, everybody goes through the program. So I have a large family and all my kids and my wife and some relatives have gone through the program. The only one who hasn't yet is my 14-year-old. I told him, give him a couple of years. He was a friend of mine since elementary school, and I hooked up with him when I moved out to the Bay Area, and he was instrumental in getting the nonprofit set up and taking care of a lot of the stuff that, you know, I just don't have the time or inclination to do very well. So, you know, he always calls himself the man behind the curtain. He likes it that way, and we work together very well. But there's so many other volunteers who put in their time and talents to help make Job Hackers a success. So. You know, I can take credit for some of the ideas, I can take credit for some of the work, but it's really a big team effort and it's all volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to that, right? So one of the main reasons why I was so passionate about this podcast is, you know, we at the board at Agile Uprising have been trying to figure out, like, what are ways that we can, with everything going on in the world, right? There's so many there. It, you just feel like a mountain of like everything is just wrong, sad, and it's awful. Right. But there's something that we can do. And I think reading about your organization just made me really passionate to where I said, look, we could get involved with these folks. And so that's what I want to ask. I want to ask our listeners. I know that we've got listeners all across the globe. Larry, what do you need? Like, if you had a wish list, like, I know you said some of them, like, let's just throw them out there. Like sure. who knows who's listening? Like, give me your wish list. What could you use right now?
Okay. Well, we could always use a lot of different things, Chris. I mean, I always talk about the three things we need to be successful. Try to keep it simple. We got to get butts in the seats. There's a lot of people who need what we provide. We like in a previous class, we started with 220 people. We finished with about 130, 140 who made it through the program. We're doing it through Zoom. We have, as far as I know, there's no upward limit to how many people we can get in the class. So obviously there's people out here who hear my voice, who know people who could benefit from what we do, send them our way. The second thing we need to do is most of these people, it's 95% or more, are looking for work. They're active. Looking for work, and they're, some of them are hurting. We know that. I mean, we know how important work is and being engaged in the work that you do. So our second thing is, how do we get them placed? How do we get the experience? So if we can get people who can mentor people, who can take on interns, who can help them find work, help them with resume writing and all the other skills that it takes to find work, because some of these people, you know, haven't been engaged in the workforce. We have, you know, for instance, so many women who are coming back into the workforce after taking time off. And that is such a tough thing to do. So mentorship and anything that, you know, somebody send me an email and just say, Larry, I'll raise my hand. I'll find something for you, because we've got people who have needs. The third thing is I don't want to call it the moonshot, but if we get funding, we run on less than $10,000 a year. If you can imagine giving away $1 million worth of training on $10,000 a year, and all the other things that we do. If we had more money, we believe strongly that we could do a heck of a lot of the first two, which is reach more people and get more people engaged in meaningful work. So we're always looking for donations. We're a 501c3. If you want to donate, we'll take it, and you can take a nice tax write-off. If you're a big company who's saying, hey, we want to sponsor this, great. You know, let's sponsor it. Let's run this thing. There's so many ways that we can make this a very valuable resource to the community. And so, you know, having some funding would certainly help as well.
Yeah. So that's a big, you know, that in my mind, that's a small list. That seems, you know, that seems easy. All of those things easy, you know, granted, I don't run a company. I'm not responsible for hiring right now. But in my mind, like if we had the right people, if we get this thing passed around enough, if we get this message passed around enough, right, we get other podcasts to help out. Like, so those of you that I guarantee all of you are like, I need some content these days because I'm running dry. Like everybody reach out to Larry, thejobhackers.org, right? Like get, like we need to get their message out. And if I may, right, a lot of us are at home. We're not taking a summer vacation. We're not traveling to conferences. All of our conferences are canceled this year. All of that time you had spent for that, right? A lot of you are you know, run your own gig, right? I'm not sure what your pipeline's like, but I guarantee you, with all of that, even just if you take the time you would have spent traveling to and working at conferences, you've got some hours that you can burn to help people get better, right? That you can be an ear. You can help them polish their speaking, polish their facilitation and presentation, polish their resume, right? Have them, you know, intern with you. A lot of the stuff you're going to be on Zooms anyways. Let them listen in. Let them figure it out, right? Like I'm throwing out a challenge to our community that We at Agile Uprising know that we need to do more, right? We know we need to do more, and there's a lot of work to be done to help our community grow. I think that these people that are coming to Larry are the right people that we need in our industry. They are, having spoken to a couple of them, they are authentic people, they are earnest people. They come with a hard story, but also a story of just gratefulness and gratitude. And I'm getting on a soapbox and I'm not going to get emotional, but I'm making the plea for Larry. I am making so that he doesn't have to do it. I'm asking you, will you please reach out, willing to spend a few hours a week, right, and mentor someone? They also probably need people for upcoming classes to help facilitate. I guarantee you all, these are not classes that, like, you will better your skills by helping out with the presentation or with the breakouts, or like the more people they get in these classes, the more breakout leaders they need, the more facilitation help that they need. I guarantee you they need that. We're going to get as much involved we can. Larry says, start small.
Yeah.
Don't promise too much, right? Don't promise to send them, you know, a big fat check and a bunch of jobs. Don't do that. Just say, let me start with some time, right? The easy thing that you can give right now is time. Right. Give a little time, give a little bit of love. I guarantee you, these are the folks in our community that need it more than anything.
So, yeah, and the other thing about your community is you got some awesome agilists in your community. We have a monthly meetup. We're always looking for speakers. So those folks who are going to give those great speeches and things at the conferences, you got it all prepared. So just let us know. You know, we'd love to get you in there. We always have really, really good speakers. We'd love to get you involved. So that's a great way to get involved too. There's just so many things. If you just raise your hand and say, we'll find a place for you.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's one thing that our listening audience loves to do is to have an opportunity to share some slides and some stories and some words. I know you all built slides to share this year. I know I did. So I'm going to sign up the first chance I get at a monthly meetup. You know, even if it's just that, start there, be a voice. Be someone to listen to and reach out to, share your phone number, let's do something this year. Like, I need to quit being so down in the dumps with what's going on. I need to do something with all this cabin fever that I have right now. So, Larry, we're gonna listen to an interview from some of your former students, but I just want to thank you for just being available and being so generous with your mission and letting me just get excited for you and with you. And I hope that we can send some people your way.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. I mean, we're just looking to help, and you're a big help for us and getting the word out. And so, you know, thank you for all that you do. And thank you for this podcast and this opportunity.
Absolutely, Larry. Absolutely. Okay, we are back. I am so excited. I am excited to be joined by two former students. Larry told us about job hackers and what they do and the folks that come through the program. We actually have two former students that are here to tell us about their journey. So Junae, welcome. What would you like the audience to know about you?
Oh yeah, well thank you. Thank you for welcoming, and in these especially in these special days, everybody is living off of the Zoom and the WebEx and et cetera. And this isn't a great opportunity for us to socialize. This will be a part of my socializing hours and moments. After I log off from my company laptop. Yeah, that's pretty much how it's going to be for me. Yeah, I have to be short as possible. I have been in the field and project management field for quite some time. I was, before I met Larry and Job Hackers, I was more of a certified project manager and IT project manager, so to be more specific. But that's when I moved to Bay Area with my wife. When I moved back here to Bay Area, I had that almost 2 years gap on my professional life because of the fact that my wife is German and she was living in Germany back then when I got married. I moved there and stayed there for almost 2 years. Did some volunteer work, but that was about it. Nothing was professional, nothing was professional or paid. So when I came back here to the Bay Area and started looking for a job, and then in the Bay Area, more specifically with this area's culture, was so much different than what I used to when back in Florida. I used to live in Florida for about like 20 years in the IT field. So I started struggling a little bit of looking, you know, and finding a job that fits me. And other than that I was kind of leaning to the newest adventures maybe, and project management, sort of like what's new out there. I started reading up on these agile movement and transformations, and that's when actually one of the morning roundtables that Larry came to the class and introduced himself and explained what he did, what he's doing, and he invited us to be one of the first maybe students to the Job Hackers a couple of years ago. So we signed up, we were able to get in, and we started in person, and our class was solely in person. Back then we didn't have any Zoom classes. Zoom actually as a part of the class. It wasn't sort of like a hybrid class, it was just in person, 17, 18 people, and got together 7:30 a.m. and we went through the Larry's teachings. And after that, I was one of the lucky and fortunate ones to got into the agile world after the basic foundation of what we have got from Larry and what we have learned, what agile is all about, how much it delivers, what's the difference, how much more value you get when project, you know, the managing projects sort of aspect. And that's when I actually ended up having an agile lead. Since then, I'm back and forth. I'm in the banking field, which was even more surprising. I would have never imagined to be in the banking IT departments. I have never been before. But with the Bay Area, that's how I started. I started out as a contractor, Scrum Master with, I believe, one of the major banks. I wouldn't name the name.
We wouldn't do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Major, one of the, it was just a contractor job, but it was a start. And just reminding you that this was a job through the people that I met through the Job Hackers meetups in the evenings that was happening back then. As a matter of fact, our first, after Larry finished first class, a couple of first classes after, we introduced him to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of meetups out there, like the PMI has meetups, this one has that, and agile groups have meetups. Why don't you have, you know, meetups for Job Hackers? Once a month, we just get together with the students, because you will keep on recruiting these students, and the more and more people will come, and the more people will be in the Job Hackers, database and might as well just have one day a month and people come and socialize and meet and talk to each other.
Okay.
And feedbacks, everything.
Yeah. I heard that there's like a couple of thousand of you all on your Slack channel, which is incredible that there's, thank you for all that. And also I want to welcome Kara. Kara, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. We're glad you're here. What do you want listeners to know about you?
I laugh a lot, but right now I'm laughing because I'm nervous.
That's okay.
I know. Nothing to beat. We're all talking around our virtual kitchen table.
That's right.
We're amongst friends. So I am I'm trying to get out of the habit of introducing myself as a mother first, because I'm not just a mom. I'm more than just a mom, but I am a career returner. After I stepped out of my career as a project manager, non-IT, non-technical project manager, I stepped out of my career 7 years ago to do full-time caretaking. Not a decision I regret, not one single bit. Sure. Fully embraced it and stepped out. My situation has changed. It's time to step back in. I'm also bored. my children don't need me anymore. I have raised them in a certain way that they're relatively independent and self-reliant. I started looking around at the lay of the land, but I had, of course, done what most women who step out do, which was I completely and totally immersed myself in the land of mommy. And sure. My network went cold. So while I volunteered and I did all of these amazing things, they weren't a one for one in my old area.
Sure.
So when I went and looked at LinkedIn, I went, I don't know any of these people. I've not talked to any of these people.
Sure.
And I started looking around and going, what do I do? What am I going to do? and here in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, there are a lot of great things. There are a lot of amazing things happening, but there's nothing to lift up and support my like niche. There's nothing for moms, there's nothing for career returners.
Sure.
So I started looking, and there are groups, but they're either over where Janae is in the Bay, where Larry is in the Bay Area, or they're in New York and Boston. So I was like, okay. Started digging, dug some more, found the Job Hackers, because I actually sat through, I paid for the Certified Scrum Master, because I did realize very quickly that project management had kind of shifted. And those 2 days, I felt so incredibly stupid. I mean, I just sat in that class and went, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I understood. But I felt really dumb and very small.
It makes sense. It logically it makes sense. But you're like, but wait, what am I supposed to do with all of these?
Right. And walking away from that workshop feeling small and very frustrated, and I was like, never again, never again. Mm-hmm. And so it lit a fire in me to kind of figure out what can I do to figure this out, because fundamentally agile and the mindset behind it, because I come from a nonprofit background, I was like, light bulb, ding, like the servant leader, like that speaks to the core of who I am. And I was like, oh, I need this in my life. So I kept digging. I discovered Women in Agile, signed up. I just, what can I get for free? I discovered Larry's group. What can I get for free? I mean, it was just, it was like, what can I do?
Become a sponge.
Yes. The problem is, again, because Larry's, it's all these great things and it's just, it's here, here, here. But I still find myself going hands-on. I need that hands-on so that when I have an employer who goes, this is all great, but what have you actually done?
Right.
So I'm volunteering and trying to translate those pieces. So that's where I'm at. That's me in a nutshell. Oh, and I'm a photographer.
Wonderful.
So,
you said something, Kara, that I'm curious of both of you, because when you said, hey, I paid for and sat through the CSM, right? Which for the record, how most of us got introduced to it, right? Strangely enough, I took the product owner course before I took the Scrum Master, but that's story for another day. You do get all of these role specific things. This is what Scrum Mastering is, and this is what the role means to you. And there's a little bit amount of time spent on, because you only have 2 days. You got a little bit of time to spend on the mindset and the principles and the origin and the that kind of breaking both of you all through that fixed mindset, that kind of fixed project manager mindset, that box that you all, that was all you knew, and now you're being asked to step out of it. What was it like? And I'll start with you this time, Kara. What was it like going through the material at Job Hackers? That what set it apart from what you got through with like the Scrum Master course?
Well, so most, at least I can speak to my parent experience, growth mindset and that kind of concept is not new for me. It's something that, at least in my school district and where my kids are concerned, where my kid is concerned, that's something that I'm relatively familiar with. And while it's like natural for my child, it's not natural for me. So it's something I work at.
Sure.
And when, I don't know, there was a way in which Larry, even though Larry, because it was 6 weeks of material, there were ways in which Larry would present things that I was like, oh, wow. I had a lot of, you could say 2 and 2 = 4 during the CSM, but I looked at it and I went, okay, yeah, that makes sense, but it didn't actually make sense. I mean, I instinctively understood it, but when Larry presented the materials in the course and showed, I guess, step by step, how 2 and 2 = 4, it was the way in which he mapped it out or presented it that I was like, ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Okay. Okay. Janae, what about you? Like what was different from, the typical standard, training courses that we go through? What made Larry's class so different?
Yes, the difference is, and when you take a look at the CSM courses or any other courses like CSM or Scale, Scrum Master, whichever courses you go out there and take it as a Scrum Master, that you are taking that course and you're covering the material that's going to help you pass the exam, right? Well, exam is based on the literature knowledge, a little bit of a case studies and et cetera. So what Larry introduces with that 6-7 weeks, and including the all the other additional topics he covers, tech depths, cognitive biases, all these specific areas he goes through, he not only introduces you and helps you understand and learn what you need to know to pass the exam, but behind why people decided to go agile is the most important part of that job hackers, and more specifically Larry's class. It explains to you like exactly what Kara said, like ding ding, yeah, I now not only I understand, but I comprehend. It actually sinks in. Now that actually helps you to be more passionate about going out there and trying to find that first hands-on experience on Scrum Master, like on an Agile. And that's an introduction to the Agile transformation, Agile world. The easiest is to find that first Scrum Master and position that you can possibly start with, what the Agile teams or Agile transforming teams. So within that 6-7 weeks of that exercise, he also introduces lots of books that actually lead to the Agile transformation, most importantly started out in the IT industry, et cetera, explains to you. This is a full package. And in the end of, and I always say that, and I always say that with all my heart, there is always a part where you take any kind of certification, you pass it, even in that case, you may know the most perfect knowledge and literature knowledge that you might possibly have for that specific position. But when it comes to going out there to meet the people who are already in the field, in the industry, is the most important part also of finding the job, right? And meeting the right people. So Larry continues that with after 6-7 weeks of finishing course is not done. If you continue coming to the meetups, joining these like a live session, online, Zooming, wherever and whoever that he introduces, keeps on introducing, many more people he introduces in the Agile world, actual industry, who holds jobs, who might hire people for the jobs. That's what makes it different. That's what I found my first job, I mentioned that major bank contractor, Scrum Master, through Larry's connections on the, the recruiters.
Yeah, that, it's the same, what's heartwarming about the story is that the same things happen for us whenever you go to Scrum meetups or Agile meetups locally. There's always someone that knows of some place that's hiring, right? So there's, I never fail. Someone's going to walk through that can't stand their job. That's like, my boss sucks. This is not going the way that I thought it was. Well, someone's like, man, we need a Scrum Master, or we need a product owner, or we need a coach or whatnot. I do like what you said though about teaching not to pass a test, but teaching to, it's almost like a combination of what Kara was saying about teaching how to instill that growth mindset in you. But also, I'm not teaching to an exam. I'm teaching to your heart, right? I'm not here to give your mind something. You can read a book and your mind can get something. You can pay thousands of dollars and your mind can get something, but I'm here to like put something in your heart. That does something to you at the end of the course. And I feel like Kara, like that's what you were saying when you were talking about like, just going all in, like diving in, is that you got a taste of some information that your brain probably needed, but really what was going to is he was teaching to your heart. Does that resonate at all with you?
It does. Well, and so Janae was talking about the books. So, as I was sitting through my one course, these are book recommendations, and you will leave with a list of books that you can read. But as you're going through the Agile MBA, you come to the class with books that you have a kind of like college. You have books that you, as you go through the class, you know that you're going to be discussing those books. They're part of the curriculum. So Drive by Daniel Pink and And I know that Larry has changed some of the books. Like, we didn't read the cucumber book because they decided that it was a little too technical for the non-technical folks like me.
I'm not technical either. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when they were discussing some of the stuff that they used to refer to in that book, I was kind of intrigued. So I did go and ask some of my friends that are, I was like, do you have that book? Can I borrow it? Because I was interested.
Sure.
And, you know, and on the Slack board, they said, you know, if you're not technical, just read these chapters. But knowing that I had books to read in order to be able to get the most out of the material, it just really helped me dive deep, and get the most out of the program. It really deepened my knowledge.
Okay.
So it was great, and maybe that's what I needed.
Another just I just would like to mention here on that training is, so when you go out to CSM, when you go out to whichever like product owner and trainings or courses or classes, you come out of that course ready to take that specific exam, right? Product owner exam or Scrum Master exam. What Larry provides is more like all together, one kind of bundle. When you come out of that, the more specific example from our same class, which we took, we were 17, I believe, 18 people, and mm-hmm. one of us became a product owner, and I became a Scrum Master, and a couple of guys and one lady decided to go for coding, right? That's the difference here. Of out of this class, you can be any part of that role. Like, and that's another important difference that I see from that training.
So that's really awesome. Another thing that Larry told me about that I'm really excited to hear from you all on is this idea of joining a volunteer or joining a community of volunteers, right? Because again, nobody's doing this for pay, right?
Right.
And you know, for the record, a lot of what I decided to do when I was earlier on in my career and still do, right? Most of the time when I speak at conferences, I'm not making extra money to go there, right? If when I write on my blog, I'm not doing it because I'm making a ton of ad revenue, right? Like we don't do Agile Uprising because it's putting money in our pocket. We're doing this just because like we feel like it's something we should be doing. We do things that we want to do. Tell me about, Janae, I'll start with you. Tell me about what it was like, first off, receiving free education from volunteers, people doing this out of the kindness of their hearts, but also being asked to join that volunteer community afterwards. Like, what does that do to you and your approach to like your work when it's not a financial transaction. This is this is a transaction of the heart that we're doing. What was that? What is that like for you?
And maybe the most important part of it is I didn't even know this. I had been volunteering in my life several times with several different institutes. I never knew the detail of how much, what's the section or how much of a volunteer community that is in terms of the government's eyes. Like there are certain numbers that you gain from the locals or state that either you are fully going back and spending your money back to the actually volunteering, or some of them does actually some sort of like, some budgeting, some financials. And then Larry is first and most important is Larry is that one of those volunteering groups that fully spends whatever one penny he does make actually collect as a whichever company decides to actually contribute, he spends it back to the trainings, including the meetups, and including the networking, social networking, everything comes back to the students who come there for free, getting education and trying to make it, maybe possibly find a job in the future. So that part, that makes you feel like, oh, this is a truly giving group or giving job hacker. Whatever he does, he gives it back to the students, period. That's so funny that he even has these grants to the students. If you join this survey, you get like $150 off PSF exam paid for you. Like, it's so funny. He tries to even not only gives and provides the teaching, but also monetary values that he tries to give it back to the students. Like, students, a couple of the students were able to pass the exam for free, PSM exam, because Larry provided that for them.
That's so cool.
That's an amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. I did not know that. That makes me happy to know that he's able to do that. Kara, what about you? Tell me about like what it was like joining a community of volunteers.
Volunteering is kind of, it's always kind of, that's part of my ethos. So when I saw the Pay It Forward thing, that was already something that I was like, okay, done. That was something I automatically was like, I can do that. Check.
Sure.
I actually need to clock some of my hours. I need to go back in and do that because I've already done some of the stuff that I need to clock the hours. Just on the Slack channel today, someone posted something. There's a group, another nonprofit group that's similar, that they actually run Scrum simulations, but they also need people when they're not doing like the Scrum stuff to like fundraise and copy edit and content and write content. And I was like, fundraiser, that I fundraise. So, you know, for my days in PTA, fundraiser. So,
yeah.
Hello. So, that for me was just a no-brainer. Didn't even have to think about that. And I've already, I guess we get credit if people sign up for Job Hackers and then tell them that they're signing up through us or something. And I've already sent like 3 people their way. I don't know if they actually told them, oh yeah, Kara sent us, but I was like, you need to do this program. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. So I would say that there might be someone in here that's interested in some training, and we're definitely going to provide the information to go to learn more about the Job Hackers. But I guess for both of you, like, for those in our audience that would be interested in volunteering and helping out those in the community, this will be my last question, we'll be done. Okay. But what would you all say to members of our Agile Uprising community if they were thinking about maybe stepping in and saying, I'd like to volunteer and help? Like, what would you say to them?
Be intentional. I see, at least from where I stand, I see a lot of things, but be intentional in what you offer. Think about what it is that you're trying to achieve, because there are a lot of great products out there. There are a lot of great things out there, but there are a lot of groups, there are a lot of individuals who either cannot achieve or cannot, who not achieve, but can't what's available is beyond their means or is unattainable because what, what's required, either the times or what is the prerequisite in order to entry, in order to enter, are such that make it completely and totally inaccessible. So be intentional in what you do and offer. And think about that when you're doing it.
Awesome. Janae, what about you?
Now, what I would say is just to start out small, even if like smallest time you have, and just to commit to certain, maybe smallest possible contribution makes a lot of difference in others' lives too, in volunteering. Yep. And pick up, don't be afraid to fail, because you know, this is volunteering job in the end.
Amen.
In the end of the day, we are all here to help each other, you know, as much as we can. And failing is possibility. Most of the time we learn from our, you know, failures too. So just because even if you happen to fail, don't be afraid. Just commit. Simply smallest amount may be possible, but just commit.
What did Thomas Edison say about failure?
Go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, how many times did he fail and only to achieve at the end? I mean, every failure was a success.
Yeah.
Because he learned from every failure.
Oh man, I'm so glad I got to meet both of you.
Definitely.
This is so great.